Teresa Wall, one of our senior health administrators. Thanks for joining us on the show again today, Teresa. Tēnā koe. Pressure on Auckland hospitals from the outbreak, forcing patients with spinal injuries to Ōtautahi. And of course, we know that they're gearing up as well. 8 people in Tāmaki in intensive care. And the call has gone out for nurses around the country to assist. What do you make of that call?
Well, I think that there's concern that there will be a rise in the number of people needing to be cared for in ICU. And also you need to take into account that nurses, of course, have been saying that they're under pressure and that they're, you know, that's what they pulled off their strike for. So it's not unsurprising, I think.
Do we have that sort of expertise that's outside of the medical framework? Are we asking people with experience? I heard perhaps in ED and coronary and et cetera, would they be nurses who have retired that might consider coming back to help? What sort of pool of talent do we have in that regard?
So they are asking, I understand that they are asking DHBs, other DHBs outside of the Auckland metro area to see whether they can release nurses with ICU expertise to assist. So I understand that call's gone out, and I'm not aware of what the result of that is, but I'm sure that there will be nurses released from other DHBs to assist. So I think that's the first call, is whether we get ICU nurses.
Thank you. There was a government admission that they haven't quite got it all right in regards to messaging to our people. Willie Jackson, Penny Hennard in the Select Committee yesterday admitted that things could have been better. And it's pleasing to see government government response like that, isn't it? Because you're not going to fix a problem unless you acknowledge its existence.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's unfortunate that I mean, I think that there were people already saying to government, this isn't working. So government, to some extent, was saying the reason why we're getting small numbers of Māori and Pacifica going for vaccination was that because they had hesitancy. There was hesitancy. What this appears to say is that the hesitancy that there were more problems with the way in which messaging was going out to Māori and Pacifica people, and that the systems that the health sector had put in place to enable people to get vaccinated were cumbersome and difficult for people to A, book, and B, get to a place where they could be vaccinated. So I think it's a good thing that they've now decided that, yes, these things that they had put in place were the barriers and not the people being the barriers.
Our people are front-footing this now, aren't we? Marae that I've been speaking with, Manurewa, Papakura yesterday with its first marae drive-through vaccination kaupapa. It feels like we're taking the situation into our own hands, and there's a sort of come one, come all policy which our people warm to more than a booking system, eh?
Yes, that's right. So where they've had the drive-in vaccination sites where people could go with, you know, in a van or in a car and be vaccinated, they've really worked well. They've had a fantastic response. Even down here in Wellington, out at Purirua, when Oratoa ran their drive-in vaccination program, they got a tremendous response. So part of it is, of course, is that people go, well, Māori go together. And also, it's easier for people to go in a car. You know, not everybody has a car or, you know, public transport's difficult to get to the site.
We've got a very youthful population, and many of them have their chosen influences on Instagram and the like. Do you think that we could have utilised some of our young thinkers and those who are trusted in the rangatahi community to speak of this kaupapa more readily and perhaps dilute some of this hesitancy that we refer to?
Yeah, so it's great. So Anthony Jordan and Maya Burton, you know, have done a few, had meetings with young rangatahi at in Auckland, and they have, the kids there have really embraced the kōrero with them, and also a better understanding of what the vaccine does, what's in it, etc. So that's had a positive response. And I think the other thing, of course, is that for the younger generation, they haven't seen what the impacts of not having a vaccination. So if you think my generation, or even a generation older than me, knew of young people who had polio, you know, we don't see to the extent the impact of people not being vaccinated. So we've got a little bit lackadaisical, I think, about these things.